It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this brand new broadcast week, the second full broadcast week of April 2024. It is the 8th day of April 2024. It is Eclipse Day. And as far as I can tell, either the rapture is a far more select operation than anyone suspected, or it just didn't happen. I'm guessing it's the latter. Hi, I'm Robin. It is, like I said, this is The Horn, headon.live. It's where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and where if you do pop by just right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers to the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, and that would be Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky and Theo, all capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. And, well, a good time will be had by all. If you're listening to the podcast, the standard requests apply. Please like and subscribe. Subscribe on a couple of platforms. We're all over the place, you know, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Republic, Odyssey, etc. And, well, if you leave a comment there once in a while, it'll help get the podcast more noticed. Yes. And, in fact, we are coming up on 750,000 downloads over just at Podbean. And that's going to be an amazing moment. That'll probably happen sometime around August or something like that. Program note, I will not be here in this chair a week from today. I have an appointment for a surgical consult. And hopefully, I will be back for Titanic Tuesday a week from tomorrow, because my appointment is at 8:30 on Monday or on Tuesday morning. I'm not at my best at 8:30, but you know, I'll try. And so then I can get in the car and drive what will probably be approximately 4.5 hours to. Get me back here to the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, okay? And, of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, so consequently we say thank you to our 8th, 7th, and 6th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you to Marshall. Marsha, thank you, Marsha. And thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, James. Thank you, John. Thank you to Michael in Chicago, formerly of Madison. Thank you to Don in West Tennessee, and thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. where are we fundraising-wise? Well, we are at $569. And this is one of those, you know, I got part of the bill knocked down, need to knock down the rest of it, and I need to, frankly, be able to afford to go on this consult. And that's next week, so hopefully we can knock down some portion of this, and I can keep the lupine pest off the porch. And the PayPal button is at headon.live. The Patreon button is under the Contribute tab. So that's where all of that is. Had a note from Cynthia earlier today. Run, hide, the sun is gone. Oh, no. And, well, Roxanne, I hope you repented and confessed your sins. I didn't. No wonder the sun went away today. At least I'm sure that's how Marjorie Traitor Greene sees it. I might add that since so many of the stupid, superstitious maggot nutfucks live in or near the path of totality, I hope they're really fucking quaking in their boots in fear today. Repent, you stupid idiots! Yeah, don't make us send a volcano, or frogs and locusts, or rivers of blood. Yeah. Thanks, Ralphs, for the photos. Ralphs snapped a couple. Apparently, well, it was just a cloudy day here, unfortunately. Oh, well. I guess I'll have to wait another 100 years or so or something for a bit. Never mind. But like I said, there seems to be a dearth of raptures today. Doggone it, they were so looking forward to. Well, but I don't think they wanted to meet him nearly as badly as they think they did, because he probably wouldn't take kindly to all those maggots, seeing as how they don't live anything resembling the way that Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life, said for them to live. Yeah. In fact, I had a note over, our buddy Carl in Phoenix said, holy crap, I just heard someone refer to Jesus as a brown-skinned Palestinian rabbi on Molly Jong Fast podcast. Where have I heard that before? Well, I think we know. And we've been using that reference for just about the entirety of the 20-plus years that this broadcast has been on the air. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just hear things along the way. You don't necessarily know where they originate. And the next thing you know, they're showing up in major media. Thanks for that, Carl. Thank you. Also, a note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. The last two, the subject line, Tulsa. The last two survivors of the Tulsa race massacre, both 109 years of age, have finally been given leave to pursue the case for reparations for the destruction of the Greenwood area of Tulsa, Oklahoma. 36 square blocks. Even though most properties were insured, insurance companies refused to pay policyholders except for one white gun store owner. This brings me to the reason for this email. The two survivors are asking for justice before they die. It's been over 100 years, and there's been no effort to right this wrong. My problem with this is every year the government sends $3.8 billion of taxpayer money and who knows how many billions in instruments of death, but for 100 years the black folks of Tulsa get diddly squat for their suffering. I don't think the two survivors will last through discovery, depositions, pretrial motions, yada yada. What's the old saying, justice delayed is justice denied? Palestinians will get no justice, nor will the survivors of the Tulsa race massacre. I hate that sentiment, Ron, but I do not disagree with it. I hate the sentiment because I hate injustice. And justice has been denied for year after year after year in Tulsa and in so many other places in this country. I think about Wilmington, just as another for instance. It's infuriating. I hope you're wrong. I hope they do live to see justice. And although Dr. King said that the moral arc of the universe, though it be long, bends towards justice, maybe, perhaps, perchance, it's bending a little bit more in that direction in Palestine, in Gaza. And unfortunately, hope is all we have. So there's that. Oh, let's see. It's more in Monday, of course. So that means that there will be no small amount of moronity and stupidity for this program. And, well, here's one we can all enjoy. Orange Julius Geezer's stake in Trump media has officially crossed below the 50% drop mark. His own stake is now down some $3 billion. Mm-hmm. Today, the shares fell 11% again to just above $36 a share. It peaked at $79 a share on March the 26th, the first day of trading. Yeah. And they also continue to plummet because it turns out that, you know, Tribe Social didn't make any money, lost money. So, well, stoke the stroke. And to quote the sage of South Carolina, Stan Todd, y'all, he ain't gonna make it. Which is kind of goes hand in hand with what Jeremy in Vermont was talking about on Friday. He's not gonna win. But it's still not a risk that I can take. It's part of why I'm making this trip this coming Monday. I have to get everything I'm gonna get done. For fear of the chance that he will get in, might get in, at which point, Darlene with a note, thank you for saying that, because I ain't seen shit. We must have been on the wrong side of the sun and the moon in Connecticut, and still all the solar glasses were sold out everywhere. My poor nephew ran around to multiple retail stores looking for two pairs for us just before coming to puppy sit Alf and Mia today. But it didn't matter. It clouded over and the sun dimmed a bit, but couldn't tell if it was the so-called eclipse or hazy skies. The sun shone round and fairly bright the whole time, even through the hazy, cloudy skies. I admit I did micro-glances up at the sky, not long Trump-style stares without protection by any stretch. He doesn't even protect his micro-pecker, so what do you expect? Okay, we're off and running, aren't we? It's a Monday. That's a llama bell for micropecker. Lots of podcasts out there, lots of live radio out there. Probably this is the only one in which the phrase micropecker has been used. And thank you, Darlene. It's all because of you. We love you. Emilio pointing out, marginal trailer queen is still here, so we can't tell yet if the rapture happened. I think it's a pretty sure sign that it did, and she didn't qualify. Damn it! And we could have had a pretty nice planet if all the Christians would have disappeared. Solve climate change. Who knows what it may be? End hunger. End homelessness. Yeah. Oh, well. But that being, well. Like I said, he is coming undone
nitwit Nero is. The slimy team of grifters in his campaign are terribly, terribly upset because President Biden today, after nitwit Nero's big abortion policy speech, which he did by virtue of a video posted at Tripe Social. It was a Tripe video. And it was basically word salad because he can't really make much sense these days. He did brag about the fact that he was responsible for the end of Roe v. Wade. And he did not endorse a national abortion ban, which is what the vast majority of all the maggots wanted, at least until today, and when they got new marching orders from their orange god emperor. So the Biden administration, as soon as it was over, posted a 9-second clip . He says things like,
many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and in fact demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade, they wanted it ended.
They blathered on and on.
And then the baby is executed after birth under Democratic rule.
And so he said he takes a states' rights approach to abortion, you know, in which IVF, for that matter, women's reproductive care, women's abortion care. And so it's totally okay if by accident of birth a woman is born in Alabama and can't get an abortion, or born in West Virginia and can't get an abortion. But, hey, lucky her if she happens to be born in California, Washington, Oregon, Illinois, New York, etc., Massachusetts. And when the Biden campaign posted the 9-second clip of him telling exactly what he said, saying he means this. There we go.
Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. Many states...
Yeah. Trump says he supports extreme abortion bans across the country that criminalize doctors, threaten IVF, and force rape victims to give birth.
That's what they will be.
And he's not, I mean, it's exact, but the team of grifters said,
9-second clips out of context will not save your campaign. Sorry that your candidate can't do live interviews anymore, but if you think lying and misleading voters like this is a winning strategy, get ready to lose in November.
Under the Trump War Room shitter account. I guess they missed the whole State of the Union thing, didn't they? You remember the State of the Union? Where he, you know, it's either Biden is demented and incompetent, or he's too jacked and too real. Poor fuckers at Trump War Room are dumber than the head and the hog is in the ass. On a note coming in from Dave in the Blind, a spectacular eclipse for my birthday. As I begin my 60th trip around the sun, I saw darkness outside my door. I opened it just as totality was beginning. The light was very strange. It was overcast near my house, but I talked to my sister in Muncie, that's 60 miles away. It was clear and sunny. She was at a party with the rest of the family, and they were having a good time making pinhole calendar cameras. I'll Probably never see anything like that again in my life. I hope to, but I'm a realist anyway. For the Christians out there who think it was the end of the world, remember, I'm alive. And, well, me being alive is considered a sin, even if you do it, because you're mentally unbalanced as a survivor of a suicide attempt. I say that's all bullshit. If you need the help, get the help. Your buddy Dave and the Blind. Thank you, Dave. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you. A Llama Bell happy birthday for you. I hope it's a wonderful day. Oh, and since we're talking eclipse, good Lord. The man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts, who should be behind bar. He should have, his sentence should be over by now. Prior to the eclipse, Stevie Three Shirts had an announcement. Because, of course, he did. Namely, he was going to help protect against the eclipse. Kind of struggling here. I mean, what? Anytime there's an eclipse, I always think of Mark Twain and a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court, in which the Connecticut Yankee outsmarts the forces of dumb, stupid, and wicked by predicting an eclipse. Harry Morgan is the character's name. Mm-hmm. And apparently we've not gotten much better. Well, we've devolved at this point in time to where maggots in 2024 are no sharper than, say, Dark Ages Britain. Damnedest thing, you know?
Monday, 8 April, year of our Lord, 2024. We are going to, and I would ask Grace and Queen of the Trolls and Captain Bannon to get to the team here. Bishop Strickland is going to say a mass simultaneous with the the eclipse today, and we are going to stream that on both our Getter and our Rumble. This is about making sure there's no satanic forces that come through. So we will live stream that from Bishop Strickland, and Grace and Mo will get the time up in the chat, and I'll mention it as soon as I know the time. But I think it's exact time. I think it's going to start at 3, because I think the thing goes down at 3:20 or something Eastern.
Yeah, they were going to have a mass to protect against demonic eclipse forces. No, really. Not kidding. Good Lord. And I'm looking for a passage right now. Just a second. A few quotes from Carl Sagan's Demon-Haunted World. One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back. And this is the one I was after. Now, I always remember the passing of Carl Sagan because it was contemporaneous with the with my mother's passing. And I actually read about his death in a paper that exists no longer. It was the Birmingham News. And we were at the my father and I were at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, sitting in the waiting room until we got the chance to go back and spend 15 minutes with her in the medical ICU. And I was sad when I read of his passing because I felt like he'd been a genuine force for good. And in The Demon-Haunted World, Sagan writes, "I have a foreboding of America." Now remember, this is 1996 into 1997 that I was reading of his passing. So this is maybe 1993, 94. And so he says, "I have a foreboding of America in my children's or grandchildren's time." Here we are. "When the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all of the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues, when the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, with our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. And when the dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media, the 30-second sound bites, now down to 10 seconds or less, lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance."
With the, what is it, the eclipse today, and we are going to stream that on both our Getter and our Rumble. This is about making sure there's no satanic forces that come through. So we will live stream that from Bishop Strickland, and Grace and Mo will get the time up in the chat, and I'll mention it as soon as I know that.
I feel like this isn't just me, that there is a certain horror that attends the notion of getting some dude in a dress to wave an incense stencher at the sun and implore it to return to bless us with its warmth and light again. I mean, we can ridicule this, certainly. And believe you me, I plan to. But I think we are remiss if we do not also point out that the stupidification of an entire segment of the American population does not bode well for the future of this country. And in that other Sagan quote where he said, "Once you've allowed a charlatan to bamboozle you, you seldom get unbamboozled." Saying a mass at the sun reminds me of a meme I saw once. It showed a Spanish conquistador confronting a Mexica noble and saying, "See, we've come here and we've brought you the true religion, the Son of God. Without us, you'd still be worshiping the sun." And the Uitlatoani looks at the conquistador and says, "Motherfucker, the sun is real." No demonic forces. Emilio says, "Too late. Lefagor Bannon made it to the screen." Okay. A little llama bell for that, Emilio. Lefagor? Clarence, what the fuck? Bannon is a certified bullshit artist. He's a bamboozler. He's a charlatan. He's exactly what Carl Sagan was talking about, Clarence. Subject line, Eclipse. Matt in San Francisco writes, "If you want to find out if you love someone, build an IKEA trundle bed and assemble it together. But enough about my yesterday." To me, this news eclipse coverage feels like some people are having a great time, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's life-changing. What's that? What are you doing? Laundry? Dishes? Chores? Wow, sucks to be you. Yeah, I know. Thanks for the constant reminder. Don't feel alone, Matt. It wasn't like I was out there in the yard quaking in terror. Please make the sun come back, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, credulous boobs. Just so credulous. Do tell me more about the trundle bed, Matt. That sounds almost as much fun as Annette and me and the sun trying to get the smoker put together. Because, as I said, the box that you will need, a Phillips head screwdriver and a wrench. They did not say I would also need an octopus. Still proud of that line. I will be saying a mass at the sun. I mean, help me here. It's Moran Monday. Does this clown actually believe this stuff? That there are demonic forces that can be loosed by a mere astronomical event? Does this mean Mercury's in the microwave again or something? A little help here? I don't know. And then this today as well, a photograph of Nitwit Nero staring at the eclipse last time, the Biden team jumping on. Folks, there's a solar eclipse today. Depending on where you are today, when you look up, you might see it. Unlike the last guy in the White House, please don't look directly at it. Instead, look at the progress the Biden and Harris campaign has made in the first quarter of this year, thanks to your support. More than 100 offices opened in states across the country. Millions of voters reached during our March month of action. Events in every battleground state with President Biden. We need your help to keep this momentum going for Joe and Kamala. Will you chip in on your first donation today? Well, I'm poor, Joe. But, yeah, don't look directly at the... Mama always said not to look into the eyes of the sun. But Mama, that's where the fun is. Yeah. Madman, drummers, bummers, Indians in the summers, and the teenage diplomat. In the mumps with the dumps, as the adolescent pumps his way into his hat. Go-kart Mozart. Never mind. Never mind. We'll just stop there. And then there's the fact that a mass so the demons don't come through Steve in New York says, what I find so utterly disgusting is that Bannon doesn't buy anything he's saying here. It's just another grift. It's always a grift with these demons. Yes, I use that literally. But he certainly is willing to use Holy Mother Church to achieve his fascist ends. Yeah. It's exhausting and saddening. Demons coming through the portals. But in real world news, might as well just give up and deal with what it is. It kind of feels like a prayer meeting Wednesday coming early. I mean, for heaven's sakes. Holy Mother Church has issued a new paper Matt, bitch, you can recite all these lyrics from 40 years ago, but you missed the one about the dove. And just flapping around in circles, saying, ooh, baby, yeah, ooh, said ooh. I don't know. I'm not responsible. I think it's just a matter of sheer DJ brain oversaturation. I played Blinded by the Light a lot more than I played Edge of 17. Or, to me, the One Winged Dove song. But, no, really, the church has a new doctrinal paper out there, a teaching. And, well, they've decided to condemn me. And not just me, a lot of others, too. From Reuters, you know all those, those pronouncements that Pope Frank is more, you know, too liberal, right? Mm-hmm. They issued a policy paper, 20 pages of text, in which they said that gender theory is extremely dangerous. And said that it's trying to, quote, to deny the greatest possible difference that exists between living beings, sexual difference. This came out of the Sistery for the Defense of the Faith. And Cardinal Victor Manuel Fernandez, another Argentinian, they also said birth surrogacy, violates the dignity of both the surrogate mother and the child, and noted that Pope Frank back in January said that surrogacy is despicable. And he called for a global ban. The name of the text was called Dignitas Infinita, and is a response to the kerfuffle that arose in Holy Mother Church when Pope Frank said that same-sex couples can receive blessings, which sent the church in Africa into absolute paroxysms of fury because far too many countries in Africa want to kill all their homosexual population. And apparently, desiring a personal self-determination amounts to a concession to the age-old temptation to make oneself God, entering into competition with the true God of love revealed to us in the gospel. And said that, well, I'm offending creation. Essentially, Holy Mother Church asserted that, as I've been saying here, you know, they're not immune. Listen, Father Sarducci over there at the Vatican Observer. It's okay, but a little credit would be nice once in a while. I've been saying that that the deity is non-binary for a long time now. You got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the feminine Holy Spirit all wrapped up into one package. You can't get much less non-binary than, much more non-binary than that. Any sex change intervention, as a rule, risks threatening the unique dignity the person has received from the moment of conception. You motherfuckers. There was no dignity. None. In struggling just to stay alive. Because of some apparent act of sadistic cruelty on the part of your God. But here we are. Now, things that were not mentioned in Dignitas Infinita. Well, it turns out that Trump media, and this is via an auditing firm that determined that Trump media has a string of regulatory issues, and those regulatory issues lead to, wait for it, a league of lingerie fighters. George Conway ran out to social media and said, I'm shocked, shocked, I tell you. What will they tell us next? That his appellate bond might not be any good? Oh, wait. The auditing firm is B.F. Borgers. They audit Trump media's finances. They're out of Colorado. And according to a Canadian regulator, this in an article by Bloomberg today, a Canadian regulator said last year that B.F. Borgers violated its rules for auditors while the U.S.'s Public Company Accounting Oversight Board found multiple deficiencies in every audit it reviewed from the firm over the past two annual checks. Closely held companies often retain audit firms after going public through mergers with blank check companies, but most of B.F. Borgers' clients, such as Lingerie Fighting Championship Incorporated, a mixed martial arts league, are significantly smaller than Trump's media business. So apparently the auditors are as sketchy as the company. Lingerie Fighting Championships, Inc. Right. One poster to what used to be known as Twitter said, I thought the string of issues was a nice touch coming from lingerie fighting. Someone else should have said a G-string of regulatory issues. Ooh. And Matt with a note. Trans woman. If Eve was created from Adam's rib, wouldn't the first woman ever be trans? I mean, according to their book of fables? Yes, we've said that all along. And in fact, it's not even a rib. That's the poetic King James English Elizabethan language. There was a lot of license on that committee. I've been told that the original translation says half of Adam's body. So, yeah, really, the very first trans woman. Makes them a little crazy when you mention that. But then again, Bronze Age superstition, so they don't know. L'Osservatore Romano, yeah, that's the name of the Vatican paper, Flavio says. Dignitas Infinita, they still don't get that gender isn't fixed. And the potential for this document sparking anti-LGBTQ violence, that is indeed infinite. It absolutely is. And in fact, in the Reuters story that I'm working from, an individual points out the Vatican is again supporting and propagating ideas that lead to real physical harm to transgender, non-binary, and other LGBTQ plus people. That came from Francis De Bernardo, the executive director of a group called New Ways Ministry. They're an advocacy group for LGBTQ Catholics. And they said its outdated theology is going to continue to drive discrimination against people who aren't heterosexual. And, well, even that kind of misses the mark a little bit, because being trans is not a sexuality. So there's that. And meanwhile, the enforcer, Fernandez, said, "It now seems that Pope Francis cannot say anything different from what has been said before, as if the teachings of the Church have been permanently set by previous popes." Well, I mean, once they got done with the queers and the surrogacy and the in vitro fertilization, the paper does make passing mention to the fact that, yeah, sexual abuse, especially child sexual abuse, is a threat to human dignity. And they said it was widespread within society. I bet you it's more, just on a statistical basis, I bet you it's more widespread within Holy Mother Church than it is in society in general. So just to repeat that, if Pope Frank had his way, and the rest of those drag queens, and the rest of those men in dresses, if they had their way, people would just die, quite often by unaliving themselves, instead of being able to obtain gender-affirming surgery. Last I checked, unaliving oneself is not okay either. So according to Holy Mother Church, we are damned if we do and literally damned if we don't. But they did, because anytime right-wing assholes get hold of this issue, they immediately throw the intersex people in the trash. Because remember, intersex people exist in the human population on this planet. I think on this planet's a bit superfluous. But intersex people exist in the human population at roughly the same percentage as true redheads do. And so the Mother Church did want to speak to that, and they said, that it surgery might be necessary to resolve genital abnormalities. That said, such a medical procedure would not constitute a sex change in the sense intended here. Never mind dragging them into the 21st century. It'd be nice if we could drag them into the 18th. But, well, no. And today also, it's been a busy Monday. I guess eclipses do that to people. Nitwit Nero sent his pettifoggers out to personally sue New York Judge Juan Merchan. He's trying to sue the judge off of the case and challenge the gag order that Merchan put on Trump when Trump began attacking the judge's own daughter. The New York Times said that it's an appeal in the form of a lawsuit, and it won't likely succeed. And said the New York, the next level appeals court might act fast to reject it, saying a single appeals court judge will most likely issue a preliminary ruling on Monday, setting up a full 5-judge panel to consider Mr. Trump's request in the coming days. He's running out of time. And then there's the question of the bond, which is still terribly, terribly sketchy. According to a report in the Daily Beast, Knight Specialty Insurance Company's bond contract, quote, doesn't actually promise it will pay the money if the former president loses his $464 million bank fraud case on appeal. Instead, it says Trump will pay, which negates the entire point of an insurance company guarantee. So it's a bond that's not really a bond. It's not worth the paper it's printed on. The Daily Beast spoke to N. Alex Hanley, the CEO of Jurisco Surety Bonds. Hanley said this is not common. The only reason this would be done is to limit the liability to the surety. Hanley further told the publication, such bond contracts would list both Trump and the insurance company as jointly and severally liable, meaning they're both responsible for the debt once he loses. But that's not in the contract. Maria T. Volo, who was once the superintendent of the New York State Department of Financial Services, said, there are many questions here, and that short piece of paper gives very little comfort. Another regulator, wishing to remain nameless, told the Daily Beast, I believe this paper isn't worth much, and there are more shenanigans behind it. And apparently the contract says that Knight won't have to pay additional interests and costs if he loses. And then says the liability of this bond shall not exceed the sum of $175 million. It's every bit as sketchy as every damned other thing he's done. Crooked as a dog's hind leg. And that quote earlier about the so-called lawsuit against Judge Mershon. Judge Elizabeth Gonzalez denied a request of Nitwit Nero to move the venue out of New York City. She took all of one sentence to do it. Defendant's application for a stay of trial pending the determination of defendant's motion for change of venue is denied. One of his pettifoggers, one Emil Bove, said, in terms of prejudicial pretrial publicity in this county, this case stands alone. There hasn't been a case with so much attention since the 1999 police killing of Amadou Diallo. So that failed. It all fails. His immunity claim for the hush money election interference case failed. And now, one of his own lawyers, former lawyers, has joined up with George Conway to file an amicus brief with the Supreme Court against his immunity claim. Hearings at the Supreme Court are set to start on April the 25th. The amicus brief has names like Fred Wertheimer of Democracy 21 Education Fund, Seth Waxman of Wilmer Cutler Pickering Hale and Dorr LLP, former Trump legal counsel Ty Cobb, George Conway, and they all say the same thing. Defendant's claimed immunity finds no support in the Constitution's text or historical practice, nor can it be remotely squared with separation of powers principles made explicit in the executive vesting clause and inherent in the structure of the Constitution. To the contrary, it subverts them. And they went at this with surgical precision. Let's hope it has some persuasive force. I did not see that, Ralphs. And then, well, had to happen sooner or later, didn't it? Goodness me. The rotted FK people, those weirdos, have found C-SPAN. Oh, dear. And I think it was Steve on Friday evening who said, it appears that the things that rotted FK are saying are all designed to appeal to maggots?
Excuse me, is the name of his column. This is David in Greenberg, Pennsylvania. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's great. I've been a Democrat for like 35 years, and I just recently changed to independent because I realize what's going on in this country. First of all, we're run by a pedophile ring that's just out of control. That's what's real. That's the backbone of America, right?
Now, before we get a response here, let's point out that the tell in this little clip is when Dude Bro says, "I've been a Democrat for 35 years," But I just switched to independent. Ah, yeah, no, you didn't. Skilled and schooled semi-professional observers of C-SPAN, like Steve from Georgistan and, well, Todd, know that that's always the big giveaway, that you got a real Lulu on the line trying to slip through without having to call on the Republican line.
David, if we could set aside conspiracy.
They can't set aside conspiracy theories. That's all they got.
They changed to independent because I realize what's going on in this country. First of all, we're run by a pedophile ring that's just out of control. That's the backbone of America right now.
David, if we could set aside conspiracy theories, if you want to just focus on why you're supporting an independent.
Okay. I think Main Street media has just kept the independents out of the ring, especially RFK Jr. They're not giving them any airtime, and they want to keep the narrative right between the Republicans and Democrats. And if anybody wants to hear anything that RFK Jr. has to say, all they got to do is look him up and hear what he has to say, because it's not a fair fight if the media is not giving anything to it.
That's David in Greenberg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. He'll be going to break, and he'll be hitting the Jeroboam of Mexican gasoline down there in his desk. So the Main Street media, as Booger here referred to it, has an affirmative obligation to share wild-eyed nut job conspiracy theories without regard to journalistic accuracy, objectivity, or even a passing fancy for facts. We are, as of this past Friday, exactly 7 months from the November election. Look, if people who might be a little bit squishy, who have become a little bit squishy about Trump, decide to go ahead and vote for rotted FK, more power to them. That's not who I'm worried about. I'm worried about a different demographic. I'm worried about rotted FK as a protest vote for Gaza and Israel. But here we are. And we have crossed into the second hour of the program. The Filler Rockster is an hour old. We're trying to raise $569. So far, we're a goose egg. And I cannot overestimate the importance of trying to keep up with fundraising at this time of the month. It's brutally important. So if you feel inclined to hit the PayPal button or Patreon over at headon.live or use Venmo, which still has my dead name, unfortunately, attached to it. Well, feel free. It would be so helpful. And Matt in San Francisco notes, anyone who says child sex rings are the backbone of America needs to have a visit from the FBI after they search all of his communication devices. Oh, yeah. We're being run by a... Dear God. Oh, I have to recall at least something neat and positive today, says Steve in New York. It's the 50th anniversary of, oh my goodness, I remember that night. It's the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715th home run. You know, Hank Aaron, the steroid-free real home run king. Mighty good man, too. Thanks for that. Came against the Dodgers, I do believe, if I recall correctly. I got Hammer and Hank's autograph one time when I was working at CNN Center and tucked it put it on a cocktail napkin and sent it to my dad. He was tickled. So that is positive, Steve. Thank you. Well, they were having every bit as much fun on The View today as we've been having with Steve Bannon and the like. Their particular funnin' was reserved for Marginal Trailer Queen. Who could really resist, right? And the fact that they showed up on screen wearing their eclipse glasses was especially precious.
Just hours from now, of course, you will not be blinded. Have a seat, y'all. Yeah. You will not be blinded by the lights unless you do something dumb like this.
Again, the photo of Nitwit Nero staring at the eclipse.
How do you see the sun? No, you can see the lights a little.
Today's eclipse is causing apparently a nationwide frenzy with viewing parties and early school closing and some folks even warning that it's a sign from God.
Oh, really?
What do you think about today's solar event?
It's strictly science,
Well, I was going to say, PSA, you can't see a darn thing.
You can't see anything.
So normal sunglasses will not cut it. Get your safety goggles.
No, you cannot wear it. Listen, do not. Okay, let's be really clear.
Yeah.
Unless you know that the glasses you have
are eclipse. Yeah.
Are eclipse glasses. Do not put them on to look at the sun.
Because you can't see anything.
And it doesn't even matter that you can't see anything, but it will blind you because you don't do it.
Yes. Don't Donald Trump didn't get blind and he did it.
He is blind.
So a fascinating thing is it does the damage, but you don't feel it because of just how powerful it is. Can I know?
Maybe that's what's wrong with him.
Maybe explain some things.
Yeah.
So what's kind of crazy is with the earthquake on Friday and then the eclipse today, people are having all sorts of conspiracies about the end of the world. And then I read online that the earthquake epicenter was actually at Bedminster in New Jersey.
Right.
Fun fact. So it originated with Trump.
I know, right? I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening.
Hold on. It did not originate with Trump. It originated with Ivana. That's Ivana's revenge. Come on. Get it right, girls.
And she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in
cicadas.
No,
not cicada. There is no classic Italian dish called chicken cicada. It's piccata. Never mind. But the cicadas are coming. I love the cicadas. I love it when they get really, I mean, it's deafening. Or can be. Oh, hold on, call coming in and I gotta... Okay, no offense, but I'm going to have to disconnect so I can get the thing reconnected to the board. Not being rude. Oh, I hate Android. Sorry, I just pissed off all the Android fans. Okay, all better now. It's connected to the board. I don't know where that chicken cicada joke came from, but I apologize.
Like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here. The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love the first time in
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years. This happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists
or something is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
It happens, and the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen, and they actually can say when these things are going to happen. So all these folks who are saying, you know, it's a sign from God, God doesn't give you warning. Okay? You think he gave people at the Tower of Babel warning? Oh, I'm about to jack y'all up? No. God does stuff, and then you figure, oh, that's probably because I just, You know, I mean, it's no. But the cicadas come. We have them every 17 years. There's some we get every 20-some-odd years. And they just go under, and they come back up. They make noise and have sex.
And sing.
And this time, both types are coming.
They have sex?
They make noises when they have sex. Just like the rest of us. Except the Baptists.
Oh, God.
No, in addition to the cicada sex, I think the fact that the earthquake and the eclipse specifically, it's really great to see the coverage on news of something that everyone can get excited about. Yeah. The kids are thrilled. The schools plan for it. I think it's neat to put that focus on something that actually matters, which we don't often.
Yeah, which was great until Steve Bannon announced he was going to have let's call it what it was. Steve Bannon was going to hold an on-air exorcism of the sun. These things challenge my sobriety, y'all. I'm telling you.
And see.
Sarah,
and
will
science.
These glasses work on my blouse?
Let's check.
I think everybody's excited because most of us realize that in 2061.
Oh wait, that's not.
Is that when they say it's like 2061? It's one. It's like 2044. I don't know how many y'all are going to be here in 2044. So people are going, well, this might be the last time I see this.
Yeah. I think
that's part of it. But we'll have other kinds of eclipses, just not this kind. This is a total
solar eclipse.
I don't know. It's a whole thing. But, you know.
Do you remember Haley's comet, though?
Yeah, that was so exciting.
Were you born? It was 1986.
I made that up. That was cool.
But I remember everything revolved around the buzz, and I guess that's the 2041. I think we see Haley's Comet. It's just neat to see everyone get behind something. Teachers try so hard in school to excite people, to get them involved, and then things like this happen, and it kind of naturally gets exciting.
Yeah, my daughter's very excited about seeing it at the school.
I don't do anything with the sun at all, so it's meaningless to me. I don't go near the sun.
Well, this is the one day you can be in the sun.
I can look at it.
You can be in it. You can lay down. I don't want to enjoy the sun.
I know. That's why I say this is your one chance to go mess with the sun and then get back in the room.
Okay. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks that...
It's two something, but
oh my gosh,
before you tell us about Marjorie Taylor...
Yeah, go ahead. You want to do Marjorie Taylor before we do this? Do this first.
Do that first.
Okay. Okay. You know, ABC News has full coverage of Eclipse Across America. It's even got a new name, Eclipse Across America. And it's beginning on GMA 3 at 1 p.m. with the main event starting at 2 p.m.
Oh.
Eastern on ABC, ABC News Live, Nat Geo, Nat Geo Wild, Hulu, and Disney.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
this is a really big deal, huh? I didn't even notice it.
Well, that's because you don't go in the sun.
No,
if you went in the sun, you say, "Oh, the sun's covered." Now you don't care. You don't care if the sun gets covered because you hate the sun.
So apparently, the 2017 eclipse, 154 million Americans watched it, which is more than the highest-rated Super Bowl. So people are excited.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And we may get more this time. I mean, although Marjorie Taylor Greene, I was saying, she had a solar eclipse post, and she said, "God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens." I hope she listens.
She better listen. That woman is two French fries short of a Happy Meal.
Yeah, she needs to listen. Anyway.
Of a Happy Meal?
Meal, yeah.
Okay.
She's in Congress. People vote for her.
I thought you were going to say she's incontinent. I
don't know. Maybe.
I thought that's what you were saying.
Sometimes those ladies have way too much fun. But, you know, there's a point to be made here. Do you remember the kerfuffle over the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel, former RNC chair who was defenestrated by the Trump gang? NBC went to hire her. Everybody on NBC lost their shit. And rightfully so, because she's a professional liar. Now, meanwhile, over here at The View, now you just heard that whole colloquy. Can anyone recall who the maggot on that roundtable is? It's Elisa Farah Griffin, who was actually in the Trump administration. But as quick as she saw what was going down on January 6th, she absented herself, got away from it, and nobody was delivering damning Jeremy ads against ABC for hiring her for The View. Maybe there's a lesson in there somewhere. And Darlene in Connecticut. Sometimes it scares me how we think alike. Because with the talk of the cicadas, and I guess I'm particularly attuned to them because one of the emergences came in the spring and summer of 1997 when my youngest was born. Now you want to talk about auspices. That little baby came into the world underneath a comet and had lullabies sung to her by the cicadas when she was only a couple of months old in her crib. A lot of earth magic around her. But we had an emergence a few years ago in my before time. And I remember sitting outside in a garden area, and the cicadas were singing loudly each to each. But it's a reminder of how brutal this death planet is, that at the same time the cicadas emerge, so too cicada killer hornets. They're huge. Cicadas are pretty big. But these cicada killer hornets, I think this was happening at about the same time that we were worrying about the murder hornets. And these things are ginormous as bee family members go. And they emerge for the sole purpose of killing cicadas while cicadas are trying to get laid. They're kind of like the Edwin Meeses of the bee world. Cicadas are just sitting there, hey, anybody want to get it on? I mean, cicada song is the insect world equivalent of Barry White, okay? And here come these killjoys. I mean, this planet, sometimes, you think about that, the poor male praying mantises. You got the candlelight, you got the bottle of wine chilled, everything's just right, and let's get it on is playing, and the next thing you know, she turns around and bites your head off. But because it's not that important, he just keeps fucking. Oh well, like I said, it's a brutal planet. But yeah, marginal trailer queen. Repent, repent. The eclipse is at hand. It grows wearisome. Cynthia in the Bay Area says, I'm surprised the maggots aren't actually saying, USA, 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 Trump, Trump, Trump. See the eclipse Trump brought us, or some such stupid shit like that. And by the way, where were the cicadas on Noah's Ark? I mean, 17 years and all that. And while I'm at it, where were the parasites, too? Did everybody have tapeworms and sheep liver flukes? Just asking. A rather vigorous llama bell for you, Cynthia. What was it? Was it Twain's The Damned Human Race? Or was it Letters from the Earth? Where he raised the question of the beneficence of a god who would preserve tsetse flies and mosquitoes to torment suffering humanity. You get the idea that when Twain got to the pearly gates, the Almighty was somewhere saying, tell him I'm not here. No, really, I don't want to deal with that. He's right, of course, but I'm not God because I sit around answering questions. I mean, did anybody read Job? Sorry. Yeah. Thanks, Cynthia. Darlene in Connecticut says, I see now. Cicada, cicada, tomato, tomato, patata, potato. Same difference. Well, yeah, and then the next line in the song, let's call the whole thing off. Oh, and Steve, thank you. Two things. Here's a $10 challenge. Sorry, I can't do more right now. Well, thank you for that. This is apparently the I Hate Cicadas challenge. Two, I hate cicadas. When I was about 4 years old, I had one do their thing with that noise about 2 inches from my face. Instant trauma. I think I was about the same age when I saw my first cicada shell. You know, they emerge and they hang onto the bark of a tree and they come... They're in their larval stage and they don't have their wings or anything. They're the less lovely metamorphosis butterfly story. And yeah, they are all over, but I happen to love their song. Just like I love the peepers are one of the first signs of spring around here. When you hear the peepers, and often it's in as early as late February, you know that spring's coming. And again, they're singing the same, everybody, it's all the same song. Madman drummers, Indians in the summer with a teenage diplomat in the dumps with the mumps and the adolescent pumps his way into his hat. I'm going to work that one this evening, Matt. I hope you're aware. You started something. They don't bite. They don't sting. They pose no threat to crops or anything like that. They're fairly benign. So naturally, the Almighty sets them up as a snack for cicada murder hornets. Ta-da. Darlene points out they're extremely aggressive, and they nest in the ground. If you happen to disturb the nest and or even have a flashlight on at the time, cicada killer wasps will pursue you relentlessly. I don't want to even think what the sting feels like, because I think they can keep stinging and don't die from doing so. It's not one and done. No, they're not like honeybees. I love honeybees. These are just natural-born killers. They do. They nest in the ground, and cicada hornets or cicada killer wasps, I don't know what they are, they're brutal. Well, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just answered Steve's challenge and said, I'm donating for the cicadas, too. Yay, cicadas. The whole planet sings one song. And it's, let's just say it's got some guitar lines in it. So we've got that going for us. We're at the halfway point of the program, so thank you to Steve and to Ralphs. We are down from 559 to 524 to go in fundraising. Flavio says, I thought the Musk in Brazil story was interesting. Really, there's more than the eclipse going on today. A judge in Brazil is going after Musk for incitement to violence, January 8th, 2023, dissemination of fake news, criminal organization, etc. Of course, I love it because I hate bastards like him, and every billionaire is a policy failure. But the reasons the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court are valid, he's also had his family threatened by right-wing fascist thugs. And that's not the only Leon scum news today. No. He's going, he says, Leon scum does, that he's going to sue Australia. No, really. Leon Scum is going to sue the entire Australian government because the Australian government told Leon Scum that he has to remove a hateful post by a Canadian dude who is an anti-trans activist. The guy's nickname is Billboard Chris. And Leon Scum says, my free speech are being violated by, rights are being violated by the Australians. And so, the e-safety commissioner of Australia, ordered X to pull down a hateful piece of trash that was posted by Billboard Chris. Inman Grant is the e-safety commissioner, and he gave a notice to X on March 22nd, giving them 24 hours to remove the offending post. And Billboard Chris Elston was all pissed off in the first place because an Australian trans person named Teddy Cook had been appointed to a World Health Organization panel on health care for trans and gender diverse people instead of, you know, a cis bigot. And so in the post, this creep repeatedly misgendered Teddy Cook. And now Leon Scum says he's suing Australia because Australia has no right to... Oh, shut up, Leon, you damn dummy. The E-Safety Commission flagged Chris Elston's spew and said an ordinary reasonable person in the position of the complainant would regard the material as being offensive. This is because the material singles out the complainant to personify the poster's contempt for transgender identity, as well as equating transgender identity with a psychiatric condition, which it is not. This statement is deliberately degrading and suggests that all transgender people, and in this case the complainant in particular, have something that is wrong about their psychology owing to their gender identity. So the odious transphobe shitbird posted another spew. He posted another shit on shitter, another excrement on X. The guy, by the way, is from Vancouver, British Columbia. And he became Billboard Chris when he put up a billboard hating trans people. And so he said, I do not hold that woman in contempt for her transgender identity because I maintain that gender identities do not exist. We are called males and females, and that's that. Eh. His billboard in Vancouver simply read, I heart J.K. Rowling. It came down within hours. This guy has tried to harass children in places as far away as Doylestown, Pennsylvania, saying, there's no such thing as a queer kid, okay? They're just kids. Queer theory is this radical left ideology that wants to take everything that we've considered normal and traditional and destroy that and take everything as depraved and perverted and normalize that instead. So Leon Scum's going to sue Australia. And I think Australia has a version of the loser pays rule. So basically, he's going to sue Australia. Australia's going to win. And then they're going to make Leon Scum pay for the stomping that he takes. Now, what I think would be especially fun would be if there was something like sanctions available for bad faith filings. And, you know, it wouldn't, you know, he could write the check and never miss it. But, oh, you know, sanction him about $10 million, and then the Australian government could take that $10 million check and give it to some trans rights advocacy group or trans care group. And that would feel a lot like justice. Out of Brazil, the Brazil story from Associated Press, Flavio sent that along. A crusading Brazilian Supreme Court justice included Elon Musk as a target in an ongoing investigation over the dissemination of fake news and opened a separate investigation late Sunday into the executive for alleged obstruction. Flavio notes the AP calls him crusading. Yeah, it's a troublesome word. In his decision, Justice Alexandre de Moraes noted that Musk on Saturday began waging a public disinformation campaign regarding the top court's actions, and that Musk continued the following day, most notably with comments that his social media company X would cease to comply with the court's orders to block certain accounts. The flagrant conduct of obstruction of Brazilian justice, incitement of crime, the public threat of disobedience of court orders, and future lack of cooperation from the platform are facts that disrespect the sovereignty of Brazil. Good. Make it stick. Which, of course, in mentioning Leon Scum, well, Carl Sagan say in that quote earlier? A celebration of ignorance, credulous presentations on pseudoscience. He also noted, all over the world there are enormous numbers of smart, even gifted people who harbor a passion for science, but that passion is unrequited. Surveys suggest that some 95% of Americans are scientifically illiterate. And in the other quote, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. Sounds a lot like Leon Scum, doesn't it? An awful lot indeed. Let's run over to the stress line, see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's called techno-oligarchy, Robin.
That sounds good, Dave. Happy birthday.
Thank you, dear. I am calling to give you guys an update. I went into the shop this morning, and well, now you know that we're a multi-species workforce down at Crazy Days. The cephalopods that work for me have a new break room. It's a beautiful saltwater pool. They've got their snacks in there. But did you know that they have their own version of baseball, Robin?
No.
Yeah, the rules are a tad different because, well, they maneuver on two tentacles, and they use the other six to hold the glove and, throw and field. It's real interesting. They have 9 strikes and you're out for them. The pitchers throw 3 balls at a time, which makes you damn near have to have a computer to umpire it properly.
Good God, a 6-4-3 double play could be amazing to see.
Yes, it would. It would. And I'm thinking my beloved Reds will need them. Having said all that, I remember the night that Hank Aaron hit that dinger because I just turned 9 and Dad realized that it was going to be possibly a historic event that happened on my birthday, and he allowed me to stay up until Hank hit the run. And I have tried to remember it every year since. He used to play for a baseball team called the Indianapolis Clowns. They were sort of baseball's answer to the Harlem Globetrotters, doing trick plays and things like that. But they recruited out of the colleges and out of some of the better-known black barnstorming teams. And he was a member. I don't know how long he played with them, but he was a fairly young man. And today has been a very interesting day. I watched the eclipse's effects from my porch. I didn't look up into the sky. I just
smart man
watched the light and the shadows. And it was the most surreal thing I've ever experienced in my life. When the light started coming back, the birds started singing like they do early in the morning. And it didn't take long for the sun to come back. But after all these, for more than a century, we've known exactly what an eclipse is. How is it that these Christians who, you know, put themselves out as prognosticating the coming of the end times, usually for grift and profit, and that's P-R-O-F-I-T, not
correct
the other spelling. I understand John Hagee. That's part of his grift. It's always been part of his grift. Every time there's a lunar eclipse, he starts talking, barking about the blood moon and God's judgment, and dude, it's just a celestial occurrence. It's regular. It's predictable. You know when it's going to happen. It's not miraculous.
Again, a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court was written when?
The 1880s, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm looking now.
I know it's post-Civil War because he was living in Connecticut when he wrote it. I want to say in the 1880s.
Looking here. Originally published 1889.
Almost the 1890s.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said Harry Morgan. Hank Morgan is the protagonist.
Yeah, I was going to say Colonel Potter was written about in the Connecticut Yankees.
Yes, he is.
That didn't sound
right. Hank Morgan is a resident of East Hartford, Connecticut. And in it, again, because he's an engineer, well, he's able to predict an eclipse.
Probably along with his handy-dandy almanac.
Right, yeah.
I've had some very good thoughts today, being my brother-in-law. When is one considered old? When is somebody considered an old man or an old woman? Is there a particular age, a drop-dead date, so to speak?
You mean a Best Buy date?
Well, that came and went years ago, Robin. I know
I always loved the
1990s.
You know, I've said a million times, one of my favorite novels is Aztec by Gary Jennings. I think it really does stand the test of time. There are problematic aspects of it. There are always going to be problematic aspects of books. That's why they're books. But in it, the protagonist refers to something that he calls the age of never. And it has no fixed date. But it's that point in time where you begin to say things like, this hill never seemed so steep before. Or, I never used to get cold so easily before.
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting there.
That's the age of never.
I've never been this winded after just puttering around the house. You know. things like that. I've been experimenting with hot sauces and seasonings, and I made some pasta for lunch using French hot sauce, garlic powder, and onion powder.
Sounds like a lot.
And putting the French and the seasonings in the water and microwaving the spaghetti in water so that it would at least flavor the pasta. And it worked. It also opened up my sinuses. Can we discuss Mama Mike for a moment?
Yes, we can, but I did want to do, because I took a minute, I looked for it, and you were talking about staying up late to watch Hank Aaron hit number 715. I do have the clip here, and it's especially good because the VO is by none other than the immortal Vin Scully. So let's take a second for that.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. Though the confrontation for the second time, Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now. But we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low, ball one. And that just adds to the pressure. The crowd booing. Downing has to ignore the sound effects and stay a professional and pitch his game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
Buckner goes back. Oh, my God. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was a definite moment in baseball history. I read somewhere that he got death threats on his
breaking. Yeah, absolutely.
What a marvelous moment for baseball.
Which,
what a marvelous moment.
I don't know.
Atlanta,
I think
and the state of Georgia,
George Ruth
what
would have been appalled by
for
that.
The country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother. He threw his arms around his father. And as he left the home plate area, his mother came running across the grass, threw her arms around his neck, kissed him for all she was worth. As Aaron,
wow, I didn't realize his parents were there.
The Dodgers on the infield shook his hand. And that was a memorable moment. Aaron is being mobbed by photographers. He is holding his right hand high in the air, and for the first time in a long time, that poker face of Aaron shows the tremendous strain and relief of what it must have been like to live with for the past several months. It is over. At 9:10 in Atlanta, Georgia, Henry Aaron has eclipsed the mark set by Babe Ruth. You could not, I guess, get two more opposite men. The Babe, big and garrulous and oh so sociable and oh so immense in all of his appetites. And then the quiet lad out of Mobile, Alabama, slender and stayed slender throughout his career. Ruth, as he put on the poundage and the paunch, the Yankees put their ball players in pinstripe uniforms because it made Ruth look slimmer. But they didn't need pinstripe uniforms for Henry Aaron in the twilight of his career. He looked almost the same as he did when he first came up 20 years ago. And so it was a memorable moment before the game, And now what a sweet moment it is here in the middle of the game. So Henry and the Babe, the two greatest home run hitters that have ever lived. And it's a marvelous, wonderful, enjoyable moment here in Atlanta.
And no steroids necessary. How about that, sports fans?
Yeah. That was the early 70s. And there was a lot of shit going on back then. But I remember that night. I'm glad Dad let me stay up. Because he didn't normally let me stay up, you know, even for baseball, unless it was the Reds.
Well, if you were still in Central Time, that would have been, I mean, I was watching in Central Time, that would have been 8:10 p.m.
Right, and that would have been about my bedtime. And then Dad said that I could watch the game with him, because Hank Aaron could break Babe Ruth's record. I'd been following that religiously for a month prior. And he was one of the great, just to watch him play on television was a joy. There are some players that you just enjoy watching them play. And Hank Aaron was one of them. But I did not realize until just now that his parents were there that night. And that had to be extremely special for him. I know one time I got on a website where I could send an email to him, and I sent one on April the 8th, and I just thanked him. I said, I wanted to say thank you to the 9-year-old kid whose dad let him stay up to watch the game on his birthday, and I couldn't think of it better. But I've had some really great birthday presents that the universe has given me over the years. In 2009, my birthday fell on a minor Jewish holiday celebrating the creation of the world. Hank Aaron breaks Babe Ruth's record on my birthday. And now today, I've got nothing to complain about, Robin. I'm sure this is all very expensive for the powers that be to arrange, but I'm grateful. And as far as volcanoes are concerned, are those beer volcanoes? Because his most newly appendage had promised me beer volcanoes and stripper poles in the afterlife. I don't know. You know I'm a devout Pastafarian.
Ramen.
But no, what I was going to ask about Mama Mike is there's all this hand-wringing about will Marjorie Traitor Green file a petition to vacate? I don't think she's going to have the balls to do it.
Well, she did, though. It's just that it's not a privileged resolution.
So what? It's got to go through regular order then, I suppose?
Pretty much.
Well, that's going to fly like a lead turd. Because I've been hearing a lot of Republicans going, is she nuts? You know, if you have to ask the question, is Marjorie Taylor trash? the nutty one in the body. Your party's got more than just her as an issue.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I find it ironic, and the Goddess of Irony has Steve Bannon and the Catholic Archbishop in the palm of her ever-loving hands, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Robin, but the Vatican maintains an observatory in Rome.
Or I think it's technically outside Rome. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been there for centuries. Well, they might have been Galileo during his life. Well, nowadays they have a tendency to observe the fact that, well, he was correct, and they go on from there. I guess the good archbishop did not get the message. Again, this is a predictable event. What the hell are you doing trying to scare people into believing that demons are going to come from outer space to snatch their souls for watching an eclipse? I mean, so what? I was in awe of the light and the effects of the shadows and all of that. I kept going, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. I was like a 9-year-old kid again.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with religion in politics. Not that someone's religious beliefs shouldn't inform the way they deal with people. I believe that wholeheartedly. However, putting your religious views in the context of the United States is wrong. This isn't Russia, contrary to what the Republicans in Congress want. You know, when we broke away from the Church of England, we got the Episcopalians. So, and I don't hear a lot of people yelling and screaming at them. It's just these people who believe there's a demon in everything, and if you don't agree with me, well, then you're going to hell because I say you're going to hell. You know, I have a friend who's a devout Muslim, and he was talking like that, belittling people, and I finally looked over at him and said, Yusuf, that's very Christian of you. Oh, he got pissed.
I can imagine.
He's like, well, I'm not a Christian. I said, then quit talking like one. And I got to thinking, there was something on Facebook. It was on the GodPod podcast Facebook page. And God posted the question, what event made you stop believing in me? And for me, it was when my cousin Griff had died, 20 years prior, he had converted to Islam. And when he died, the family pretended that he had gone back to the Catholic Church, and they had him cremated. And at that point, I thought, if you can lie about something that important to your own family member to make yourself feel big, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not denigrating some people of faith. I know there are a lot of people of faith in this community. What I object to is the hypocrisy, and using that hypocrisy to seize power. And it's only going to get worse. The Republicans already have a feeling that Trump's going to lose in November because they're encouraging him to run again in 28. Here's my question. If Biden's too old now.
Yeah, I know.
Why wouldn't Donnie be too old in 28? I mean, they're only 3 years. He's only 3 years younger than Biden.
Right. Well, because their orange god emperor is a Superman who will live to be 200. Don't you remember his original physical fitness report?
Oh, by Candyman Jackson?
No. This was the guy who was some sort of osteopath that he went to for a letter when he was running in 2016.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And it was all sycophantic, and I remember. And he was probably paid real well for it. Nurse, do you have the Trump file? Yes, doctor, and the check cleared. Yoo-hoo! One check that Donnie didn't bounce. Here's the question. How long is it going to take the state of New York to petition the court to seize his assets since the bond is on hinky ground at best?
Yeah, sketchy. Let's say sketchy. Yeah. I don't think... Look, in all sincerity, I mean, we've kind of made a bit out of it, Todd saying, the sage of South Carolina stands saying, y'all, he ain't going to make it. He really isn't.
No, he's not a well man. And from what I understand of his family history, Fred went down this path in his final years.
Yeah, with a similar trajectory.
And that's not to make fun of dementia. My grandfather suffered from dementia. It is a terrifying condition. There's a reason they call it the long goodbye. He could tell me things that happened in the 30s. But he couldn't remember what he'd had for lunch that day.
Well, yeah, and as has been said of Ronald Reagan, at the time when Ronald Reagan died, the only person on planet Earth who didn't know that Ronald Reagan had been president of the United States was Ronald Reagan.
Right. There was the story his son Ron told about one day Mike D was giving him a model of the White House that they put in a fish aquarium. And Ronald Reagan had pulled it out of the aquarium and was walking into the room where Nancy was and Ronald Reagan was. And she asked him, "What have you got there?" And he told her, "I don't know, but it has something to do with my past and it's important." He was trying to remember. And I find that extremely sad.
Oh, it's terribly sad. You know, I mean, just to, and there's no rhyme or reason to what stays and what goes. For instance, Glenn Campbell passed away after a long struggle with Alzheimer's. And even when he couldn't remember anything else, if you put a guitar in his hands, because long before he was a singer, he was a picker. I mean, a supremely talented guitar player. And there's just heartbreaking video of him taking the guitar and the next thing you know, he's off and gone. Because that stayed.
Oh, wow.
Hey Dave, I hope you have a wonderful remainder of your birthday.
I will, Robin. Thank you.
And I hope you get to go out and celebrate it nicely somewhere at some point.
Well, I went to Culver's the other day with Christine.
Oh,
she got a banana split, and I got a double mushroom and Swiss.
Oh, those are so good.
Cheese curds.
God, I wish we had a Culver's.
I got the cheese curds too. And my friend Wolf got the same thing I got. It all only came to like $33. Because Christine didn't want a sandwich. All she wanted was the
banana split.
I had a
peach concrete mixer there one time that was just out of this world. And the thing is,
no,
you know, Culver's,
that sounds like it'd be great.
Yeah, Culver's being Culver's, the nice thing is their cheese curds are real cheese curds and they squeak. You know, that's the true measure.
Yes, and they all come from the same farm.
Yeah, that's the true measure of a cheese curd. Does it squeak?
They had a thing where they were talking in the store on plasma screens about different things about the company, and that all their cheese curds come from one supplier for the entire chain. That's got to be a lot of damn cheese curds.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I remember when Bruce first took me to the Ellsworth Creamery in Wisconsin. It was cheese curd heaven. And now Ellsworth, there are Ellsworth Creamery cheese curds in my local Kroger's. They've got the plain ones and they've got the dill pickle ones.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to find a bar that says fried pickles.
The things that happen on this program. Well, Dave, have a wonderful evening, my friend.
All right, Robin. You take care.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
My buddy Dave in the Blind. Say hi. I mean, say hi to Gladys and the gang down at the shop and the octopi, too. Going back to the octopus baseball that Dave was talking about, three balls at a time. Matt in San Francisco says, sounds like something tawdry that includes Lance Armstrong. The Lance Armstrong quip was top-notch, Matt. I wanted to bring... So, with Nitwit Nero, it's like the Biden campaign knows exactly what they're thinking and exactly what they're going to do at all times. before the nitwit Nero people even know it themselves. And so with him blathering away about abortion today, trying to save himself from the wrath of righteously furious women all around the country by waffling and not endorsing a national abortion ban like his, you know, like the maggots want. Because, you know, the bottom line is they hate women, except for the women who are maggots, and they hate themselves. Well, the Biden team was ready for what happened today and released this ad, which will run in swing state markets in heavy rotation. Non-paid product placement.
One of our willow boxes. This is just filled with...
In 2022, Josh and Amanda were expecting their first baby, Willow.
Some of the things that we had started gathering for her while I was pregnant.
Yep.
Here's her little baby book.
At 18 weeks, Amanda's water broke and she had a miscarriage.
Gonna maybe wear home from the hospital.
Because Donald Trump killed Roe v. Wade. Amanda was denied... standard medical care to prevent infection and abortion.
Gonna maybe wear home from the hospital. All of these.
Doctors were forced to send her home.
The blanket that she was in.
3 days later, Amanda was in the ICU with sepsis. She almost died twice.
And these are her little footprints.
The infection caused so much damage, Amanda may never get pregnant again.
It's okay.
Donald Trump did this.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
That's going to hit. It's going to hit hard. And no matter what he babbles on about how, and then they
murder the baby after it's been born.
Yeah, the maggots will believe that, but... only maggot women will. Other women will know it for the bullshit that it is. They're hammering him. And they're going to continue to hammer him. So it's part of a $30 million ad buy that'll air both on local broadcast and cable TV, as well as on national cable. It's going to air on things like ESPN, Comedy Central, FX, and TNT during primetime shows like Saturday Night Live, The Voice, American Idol, Grey's Anatomy, Abbott Elementary. And, of course, the Nitwit Nero campaign was caught flat-footed. Back in February, Josh and Amanda told NBC News that they were getting ready to move her frozen embryos out of Texas in case the state stops providing in vitro fertilization services. And she is suing the state of Texas because the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian Republicans tried to kill her. And now I have no doubt, and I mean this is terrifying, but I have no doubt that she'll receive death threats, bomb threats, Planet Fitnesses in Alabama were deluged with bomb threats as Planet Fitnesses in other parts of the country have been hit because of maggot transphobia. A woman's membership to Planet Fitness was canceled by one individual unit after she was caught trying to take, well, not trying to, caught taking photographs of a trans woman in a locker room who wasn't even interacting with her. Then Chaya Ratchick got hold of the story, and the bomb threats began coming in to various and sundry Planet Fitness locations. Enough to keep a girl away from the gym. Which is the point. In Louisiana, Stan, the maggot legislature there has advanced a bill as of today to ban trans people from school bathrooms, domestic violence shelters, and other spaces that align with their gender identity. Because, of course, they did. Now, remember, none of this is going to have that much effect on people of transgender experience. What it will do is it will attack cis women. Like I said, I'm still waiting for Chaya Ratchick to start shrieking that, Caitlin Clark? Is that her name? At Iowa? That, really, a man? But in Louisiana, Stan, the House Committee on Civil Law and Procedure advanced House Bill 608 to the full House. It requires facilities to set aside bathrooms and sleeping areas for a specific sex. It resembles a so-called bathroom bill, the ongoing spasm. And the problem is, as pointed out by Kim Sport of United Against Domestic Violence, HB 608 would put domestic violence shelters out of business in Louisiana. Such shelters in Louisiana get approximately $14 million, or 90% of their operating budget, from federal grants. That was from Mariah Wineski, who is the executive director of the Louisiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Federal regulations require that those shelters screen clients based on their gender identity. The bill would put shelters out of compliance with those rules, and the shelters could lose their funding. For everyone. But of course, the religiously insane maniacs in the legislature in Louisiana, Stan, what's not to like? Because remember, that's Mullah Mike Johnson's state. And he's one of those people that, and others like him, who believe that women should not be able to get divorces no matter how much their husbands beat on them or their domestic partners, etc. It's mostly men. Oh, God. These are not accidents. Not in the least. Note coming in from Jude. Out of context, yet, my nephew Bill gifted me with the old paperback book of George Orwell's 1984. The worn book has a copyright date of 1949. And in the preface, there's Walter Cronkite added in 1983. Here's what captured me instantly. Paragraph 4. Seldom has a book provided a greater wealth of symbols for its age and for the generations to follow, and seldom have literary symbols been invested with such power. It is the such power that I was drawn into that power, reading his words in amazing alignment. Memories of Cronkite having to be present on black and white television sets, being a professional and honest man he was, of President Kennedy being shot in the head with Jackie, holding that head racing to that Dallas hospital. And do offer Robin a birthday thought of kindness sent to Dave. Happy birthday, Dave, from Jude. Kind thoughts sent, Dave. Women standing, sending funds in remembrance of Dave's birthday. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jude. Oh, here's a fun one for more in Monday. You know, the governor of South Carolina who was going to save conservatism, Kristi Noem, who instead of saving conservatism was instead romping with a former Trump critter. Yeah, that Kristi Noem. Yeah, Christian Kristi Noem, whose husband hasn't lived in the South Dakota governor's mansion for a couple of years. Well, she's been sued lately because she posted basically an infomercial about cosmetic dentistry she received. And now, Robert Walters of the Cheyenne River Sioux people told a tribal council meeting this past week, this person has made a lot of accusations about the tribes, about the cartel, council representatives being in bed with the cartel, stuff like that. And then he presented a motion to the tribal council to ban Kristi Noem from tribal lands in South Dakota. He continued and said, it's all false information. I make a motion at this time to banish her from the Cheyenne River Reservation. I believe there has to be some kind of policy set up for her to show up at these tribal meetings. She can't just go in there and do her thing. Pine Ridge had already banned her from that reservation, the Oglala Sioux taking that action. It was last month when she said, we've got some tribal leaders that I believe are personally benefiting from the cartels being there, and that's why they attack me every day. But I'm going to fight for the people who actually live in those situations, who call me and text me every day and say, please, dear governor, please come help us in Pine Ridge. We are scared. Please, dear governor, really? You think an indigenous person would ever write that to Kristi Noem? No, that's like everybody who addresses Nitwit Nero first saying, sir.
They come to me and they say, sir.
No, they come to me and they say, dear governor. Morons, morons everywhere. Morons are a glut on the market. Oh, a few other things as we... And by the way, line's open if anybody wants to converse. Stress line's open at 844-843-4676. Skype, Robin Kincaid Horn. Kincaid and Horner, one word. Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn. And I get you into Skype. And then there's 304-574-8178. And that gets you into the program, too. And we are down to 534. In our, in our struggle to get, funded enough to keep everything going and get me to my appointment and back. Sorry it's that way, but it's that way. Yeah, morons everywhere, nor any drop to drink. Drinking morons sounds dangerous. And yes, I know other things besides the eclipse happened today, but God, we have to cover the stupidity, don't we? I saw this before the eclipse earlier today. This past Friday, Arkansas Governor Jethreen Bodine, also known as Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags, declared a state of emergency in Arkansas because of the eclipse. Oh, really? She released funds from the Response and Recovery Fund to help commercial carriers transport essentials to customers in the state during the eclipse. I had no idea that, and, well, any operators of tractor trailers and the like are free to chime in on this one. I had no idea that the eclipse would cause diesel engines not to work anymore. The essential items listed in the order include groceries, pharmacy items, medical equipment, goods, commodities, fuel, poultry, livestock, and feed. Because they were worried about all the out-of-staters coming to Arkansas to watch the eclipse. Curiously, the emergency declaration sent $100,000 from the fund to deal with what are called program and administrative costs. It's being administered by the director of the Arkansas Division of Emergency Management. No word yet on how many podiums will be purchased. God, that woman's so dumb. Oh, and going back to what we were the Biden ad that we were talking about a moment ago. Since Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health was decided 2 nightmare summers ago, in the state of Texas alone, and I read this headline, and I'd like to say I was shocked, but I wasn't. But I was horrified. The headline from the Austin American-Statesman reads, Texans have had 26,000 rape-related pregnancies since Roe v. Wade was overturned, study finds. 14 states enacted total abortion bans after Dobbs. And the highest number of rape-related pregnancies of the 14 states occurred, of course, in Texas. The number comes from a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It has been peer-reviewed. It is scientifically valid. It says that an estimated 5,586, 9% of the rape-related pregnancies happened in states with rape exceptions in their bans. But a rape exception in the ban doesn't necessarily mean it's a rape exception. It means that, say, the little 12-year-old girl who just got raped by Uncle Daddy has to go to the police and drop the dime on Uncle Daddy within 24 hours. And that ain't happening. 91% of the rape pregnancies, however, occurred in states that have no exception for rape or incest. Or even the life of the mother. And so that's 26,313 45% of all the rape-related pregnancies happened in Texas alone. And even in the states that have rape exceptions, like I pointed out, in all of the states that the study looked at, there are fewer than 10 abortions per month. Meaning that the rape victims who are pregnant are still not getting the care they need. But there's your answer. The Austin American Statesman says, in Texas, an average of 9 abortions per month occurred between July 2022 and June 2023. In 2021, the year when the state banned abortion after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, more than 50,000 pregnancies were terminated in Texas. In 2020, nearly 54,000 abortions occurred. And like I said, there's your answer. Forced birth. Forced birth. We began to see. That's not an accident. Meanwhile, in Tennistan, 7 Tennessee women were denied medically necessary abortions. They're in court now. Women going into court in a lawsuit that challenges the medical exception portion of the brutal and misogynistic abortion ban in that godforsaken state. The Center for Reproductive Rights, 7 patients and 2 doctors filed the lawsuit last year. And the suit says that women in Tennessee are being wrongfully denied medically needed abortions because of the vagueness of the anti-abortion statute that leaves doctors with no guidance, which, again, is not an accident. And the women who are the plaintiffs are being forced, of course, to relive their trauma. One woman Rachel Fulton had it recounted to the court in the suit papers how she was pregnant with her second son when she found out that the baby was underdeveloped in the nervous system, the lower spine, the lungs, the abdomen, the feet, and the hands. He would not have survived after birth. But of course, the men in Tennessee didn't provide for any exceptions for a non-viable fetus. She wound up having to go to Illinois. 8 hours away, both ways, 16-hour round trip, in order to receive care. Another woman, Rebecca Milner, said it was very physically and emotionally draining and exhausting, and there are parts that felt very raw, and there are also times when it still feels surreal because it hasn't been that long since I lost my daughter. It was February of 2023 when she and her husband found out they were pregnant after 6 years of fertility treatments. And then at week 20, she found out she was low on amniotic fluid. And then she found out that her water had actually broken and her pregnancy had to end. She had to have an abortion, and it was denied to her. Because maggots in the Tennessee legislature know better than a doctor or a mother-to-be what she needs. But as hard as it was for Rebecca Milner, she joined the suit because she said, I was appalled that the traumas that people endure are waved off as inconvenience, and I knew that I could no longer sit on the sideline. Pettifoggers for the state of Tennistan argued that the women lack standing. That they don't have a legal right to file the lawsuit. And the pettifoggers also said, well, these are rare. Who cares? They're not rare to the women they happen to. Ms. Milner said, I don't know if I'm supposed to be one of these edge case patients they were talking about today, but in the real world, whether or not what happened to me connects to that court case or they were citing, that they were citing doesn't change what I endured and how it was impacted by the law in the state of Tennessee. Once again, not so gentle reminder, the cruelty is the point. Huckabee Hustlers, Clarence, says, that shit she's pulling in Arkansas is a grift. The Eclipse event is a front and reason to hire independent contractors. I wonder how much money the Huckabee family will get from this scam. Almost all of it. Almost all of it. That's why Jethreen's in there. I know it's infuriating, isn't it, Ralph? Ralph says, these women don't have standing? What the fuck? But you can make an argument like that. In a place like Tennistan, the court might buy it. Oh, and thank you, Jude. Jude just got us down to 519 to go in our effort to finish funding for last week. $219 remained from Friday on the front porch. And every penny matters. Golly, does it matter. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. Oh, and you know how we've talked about how weird the maggots have been over the... Again, further evidence of he ain't gonna make it. He gave a, well, he babbled at a fundraiser hosted by yet another billionaire, John Paulson, in Palm Beach this past Saturday night. They claimed they raked in $50.5 million, but there's no proof. And he harangued for 45 long minutes, the Orange Julius geezer did. And he decided to take off on the Resolute desk. Queen Victoria gave the desk to the United States, to the presidency, in 1880. It's been used ever since. And because of his profound grasp on the facts, because of his very big brain, he said, the Resolute desk is beautiful. Ronald Reagan used it, others used it, and he's using it. But then he said that if he gets back in the White House, he may not use it because he claimed that Joe Biden took a dump on it. Again, it's always projection or confession. And when I read that, the first thing that popped into my mind was, ha! Further confirmation of the PP tape. Because in the scrum, when the original Steele dossier came out, people were inclined to think he was paying hookers to pee on him. He wasn't. He was paying Russian hookers to pee on the bed where the heads of Michelle and Barack Obama rested during a trip to Moscow. So when I read that he's projecting, good Lord, it's gross as can be, but he is projecting. He said,
the Resolute desk has been soiled, and I mean that literally, which is so sad.
And the maggots in attendance giggled quietly to themselves, because they understood that their God Emperor had just claimed that the President of the United States had taken a big steamer on his own desk. And then, because it's all the same babble all the time, with a couple of new insanities thrown in here and there, like this one, he went off on immigration policy and said that
migrants are shipped in, brought in, deposited in our country, and these new migrants make the Hell's Angels look like extremely nice people, very nice people on both sides. No, I added that part. These are people coming in from prisons and jails. They're coming in from just unbelievable places and countries, countries that are a disaster. And he said, I only want people that come from nice countries. And when I said, you know, why can't we allow people to come from nice countries? I'm trying to be nice. Nice countries, you know, like Denmark, Switzerland. Do we have any people coming in from Denmark? How about Switzerland? How about Norway?
Yeah, that was the shithole countries comment from years past. So now we know he's at least thinking about taking a dump somewhere, if he hasn't already. He's such a weird, dirty fuck.
This could very well be the last election this country ever has. July 4th is not as important as this, as far as I'm concerned.
And Melanoma Trump showed up for this one. She hasn't shown up for many. Maybe that's why. But she did. She showed up, and she looked like she was wearing your grandmother's Sunday tablecloth. Wow. Speaking of wow, oh, wow. Thank you, Joan. Oh, Joan, thank you so much. We're done with fundraising for last week. Friday on the Front Porch is covered. So that leaves us only with today to deal with. Joan, thank you so much. I can never thank you enough. That's so incredibly kind and so desperately needed. So now we can just work on this week. Thank you, Joan. Thank you. Oh, and like I said early on, the Biden campaign is ready for every punch this Mango Mussolini tries to land. So when he put out the Tripe Social post this morning, the one that had the and then they
execute the baby
bullshit. Well, the Biden-Harris campaign immediately emailed a statement and said, Donald Trump made it clear once again today that he is, more than anyone in America, the person responsible for ending Roe v. Wade. He is, more than anyone in America, responsible for creating the cruelty and the chaos that has enveloped America since the Dobbs decision. Trump once said women must be punished for seeking reproductive health care, and he's gotten his wish. Women are being turned away from emergency rooms, forced to go to court to seek permission for the medical attention they need, and left to travel hundreds of miles for health care. In states like Florida, abortion will likely soon be illegal before many women know they're pregnant. Because of Donald Trump, 1 in 3 women in America already live under extreme and dangerous bans that put their lives at risk and threaten doctors with prosecution for doing their jobs, and that's only going to get worse. With all his empty words on fertility treatments, Trump doesn't tell you the MAGA Republicans he controls in Congress have put forward bills that could ban fertility treatments, and that the Speaker of the House himself he empowered is one of the strongest supporters for a national abortion ban in the nation. Let there be no illusion. If Donald Trump is elected and the MAGA Republicans in Congress put a national abortion ban on the Resolute desk, Trump will sign it into law. Maybe with his own poopy. I added that. Here's what Donald Trump doesn't understand. When he ripped away Roe v. Wade, he ripped away a fundamental right for the women of America that the United States Supreme Court had affirmed and reaffirmed for 50 years. As a fundamental right, it didn't matter where you lived. It was granted to you as an American, not as a resident of any state. Generations of women had come to rely on that right. Now we're in the extraordinary position where women today have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers. That has never happened before in America. And it cannot be allowed to stand. I am determined to restore the federal protections of Roe v. Wade. So it won't matter where you live in America. The fundamental right to choose for women will once again be the law of the land. If you give me and Vice President Harris a Democratic Congress, that is exactly what we will do. Trump is simply lying. There was no groundswell of support in America for overturning Roe. In fact, support for Roe is higher today in America than it has ever been. The real truth is, Trump made a political deal in 2016. He promised to appoint a court that would get rid of Roe, and he had to make good on that debt, so he did. It was never about public policy or what was right or what Trump believed. It was always about politics. Trump admits as much in his statement today. Having created the chaos of overturning Roe, he's trying to say,
"Oh, never mind, don't punish me for that. I just want to win."
Trump is scrambling. He's worried that since he's the one responsible for overturning Roe, the voters will hold him accountable in 2024. Well, I have news for Donald. They will. America was built on personal freedom and liberty. Well, I mean, for some people. So there's nothing more un-American than having our personal freedoms taken away, and that is what Donald Trump has done. As I have said many times since the Dobbs decision, Donald Trump and all those responsible for overturning Roe don't have a clue about the power of women in America. But they're about to find out. And I so hope he's right and the campaign is right. Ralph's just said, "Woohoo, Joan, thank you." Indeed, Ralph's, indeed. And here's something we need to remember about exceptions. Exception one, Steve in New York says, rape. Rape is a legal finding. That means it requires the following: a victim willing to make a police report, a DA willing to prosecute, and a plea, admission, or conviction of a defendant. There's no scenario where those steps happen within 15 weeks, let alone 6 weeks. See Florida. Exception two, incest. A victim willing to make a police report, a DA willing to prosecute, a DNA to hit test to confirm blood relation, and that requires at least the basis for a subpoena to have a blood test, a plea, admission, or conviction of a defendant. In short, these are not exceptions because a finding sufficient to establish either takes longer than 15 weeks or 6, as in Florida. These are not exceptions. These are PR stunts. We need to understand this and be able to articulate this as the nonsense that it is. I get your point, Steve. I think it's in South Carolina, Stan, that there's that 12 or 24-hour requirement for the little girl to go and drop the dime on Uncle Daddy. And then that enables her to go to a court and say, "I did everything right. Now can I please, 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 good God-fearing Republicans, not have to carry the product of my rape to term?" Because, again, you are absolutely right, Steve. These aren't exceptions. They're just aggressions. They're not even microaggressions. They're just aggressions. Oh, and earlier when I was talking with Dave about Hank Aaron, Kevin pointed out Hank Aaron never hit 50 home runs in a season. Really speaks to his consistency and longevity of his baseball career. He won a World Series in his rookie season against the New York Yankees in 1957. That team also had the great pitcher Warren Spahn, Spahn insane in a day of rain, who was in the twilight of his career but still a top-tier pitcher. It was his first and well-deserved World Series championship. It was also the first for the great slugger Eddie Matthews. The following year, the Braves lost to the Yankees in a rematch in 1958. The series went 7 games. Aaron never played in a World Series again after 1958. The only other postseason appearance was losing in the 1969 National League Championship Series to the Mets, the Miracle Mets. And Kevin said, here's $44 for number 44, Henry Aaron. Thank you for playing the version of Vin Scully's call on that famous evening in Atlanta. Not many announcers captured great baseball moments as good as he did. Well, the minute I saw Vin Scully, I knew that's what we were playing. Thank you, Kevin. Well, you just got us down to $356 or $256 to go for today. That's amazing. Thank you so much. So very much indeed. And a little bit of homegrown stupidity. This from my beloved benighted state. Our state treasurer is a maggot by the name of Riley Moore. Not happy to be on the West Virginia Board of Constitutional Board of Public Works, Riley has ambition, y'all. Riley wants to go to Congress. But right now, he's still treasurer of the state of West Virginia. And so using his awesome powers as treasurer of the state of West Virginia, he's decided that some banks need a spanking. Now, let's not get all excited. There are banks that need spankings. But now, State Treasurer Riley Moore has placed Citigroup, Inc., TD Bank N.A., the Northern Trust Company, and HSBC Holdings on the state's restricted financial institution list. I can't imagine they're losing a lot of sleep at any of those institutions. Because what it means is that those banks are no longer eligible for contracts for state banking services. You know, because we're so wealthy here. The investment and banking division in the treasurer's office manages about $22 billion in cash transactions per year. And so now those four banks can't play. Maggot Moore said, "We cannot allow institutions that seek to destroy our state's critical energy industries and the economic activity they generate to also profit from handling the very taxpayer dollars they seek to diminish. My action today represents our continued commitment to protect state funds from furthering these politically motivated, subjective ESG policies that attempt to cut off financing for our coal, oil, and natural gas industries and harm our state." Because some of these banks are actually trying to behave in a financially and socially responsible manner by not backing fracking and mountaintop removal investments anymore. This, of course, gives a giant butthurt to maggots in this state who are entirely beholden to the coal industry. They were going to go after two other banks, BMO Bank and Fifth Third Bancorp. Back in February, Riley Moore told them that they too were on the list. Nice little bank you've got there. Be a shame if something happened to it. But BMO and Fifth Third knuckled under. After receiving our initial notice, both Fifth Third Bancorp and BMO Bank worked with my office to clarify their policies and ensure they are not harming our fossil fuel industries. Ours. I wonder if Riley Moore knows he used a pronoun. Specifically, BMO Bank removed an offending policy published on their website after receiving our letter and subsequently demonstrated other existing policies had been revoked. I applaud both of these institutions for working with us in a cooperative way to ensure the free market remains free and our state's critical industries are treated fairly. So, the treasurer of the state of West Virginia thinks that the coal industry, which is definitely not ours, deserves some sort of special treatment and has a constitutional right not to have free market business decisions made about the viability of their industry? God, they're so dumb. I mean, it physically hurts how stupid they are. Theo writes, Morans on the Supreme Court. It's a day ending in Y. Oh, I know. I saw that Lou in PA says Representative Moskowitz from Florida has submitted a bill to rename a federal prison in Miami after Trump. That would be, we talked about that on Friday on the front porch. In point of fact, if he's convicted in Florida, that would probably be the joint he goes to. How about that? Yes, Ralph's, Riley Moore is really dumb. Dum-da-dum-dum-dum. Or another show. Dum-dum. And by the way, I was bummed out earlier today. I found out that NBC has canceled Quantum Leap. Damn it. I actually liked that show. I'm sure Tracy will be less than thrilled as well. Well, we've reached the end of the program this Moran Monday. It may not be eclipsed for some time. Let me try that again, says Theo. Did you hear the news reports of the Supreme Court justices trying to relate the FDA's approval of mifepristone to the Comstock laws? You may know them as the morality and obscenity laws dating from 1873 and signed into law by President Ulysses S. Grant, possibly after a few whiskeys. They're insanely out of context in modern terms, and I offer this as editorial fodder. Yeah, well, actually, using the Comstock Act, named for Anthony Comstock, a sex-obsessed asshole from the late 19th century, as you note, and his gang of goons. It speaks to what can be mailed or shipped in interstate commerce. And basically defines all of human sexuality as obscene. And it's been a fetish object of the white wing for quite some time as another means of exacting their revenge on women in America for being, you know, women in America. Oh, and before we... Before we go, just another reminder. A week from today, I will not be behind the microphone. I'll be gone, I hope, for only one day. And then be back in time for the program Tuesday evening. Traffic and weather depending, of course. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to you all, and thanks to Joan for helping us finish off funding for last week. And thanks to Kevin for getting us started on this week. Again, the fundraising goal tomorrow will be $556. So thank you all. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, challenge makers, respondents. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like each podcast episode. Subscribe if you haven't. Leave a comment here and there. It helps grow the visibility of the program on the various platforms. And it really does make a difference. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, anything you want to download from WhiteRoseSociety.org, you've got until June the 1st to do it, because then White Rose will go dark. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 25 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay alert, figure out when you get your next booster. Wear your mask if you're around the maggots, because, well, they're their own disease vector. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. It all makes a difference. Not getting sick is a real bonus. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And, well, if Mango Mussolini comes towards you gabbling about, Joe Biden took a poopy on the Resolute desk, avoid him like the plague. Because, of course, he is. And always, always, always. Gina and Wayne, it's all for you. Later.